well, from Tipperary to Brazil, because dozens of indigenous protesters blocked the front of the COP30 summit venue today, continuing their protest against mining, logging and drilling in the Amazon. As you know, the summit aims to accelerate global climate action, but is taking place without the United States, which says it's expected to shoulder too much of the burden. Our environment correspondent George Lee is at the gathering in Belém, and he joins us on the line from there. George, can you give us an overview of what's been happening over the past few days?
Well, the issue of protests is a big thing here, actually, Rachel. And even at this stage, now we're 3 hours behind you, there's only a trickle of people really compared to usual actually in the venue because of the blockage today caused by the sit-down, which is ongoing outside with the Amazon indigenous people. There's been a lot of protests around the city as well, demonstrations. The president of Brazil, Lula, has took the view, and the president of the COP also took the view that it's good to have these things going on because it adds pressure on the negotiators to ensure they come up with a deal. So there's no question that there's plenty of colour. There's a very significant focus, and particularly you can see it from all those indigenous protests, on the Amazon rainforest itself and the whole issue of indigenous rights, stopping logging, stopping development, stopping people exploiting and cutting down the Amazon. That is very big. And it's the first time really, I think, that people can remember where there's been such a significant focus on the whole issue of the lungs of the planet, the absorption of carbon from the atmosphere that nature does, and protecting and minding all of that. So that is significant. And then there's a lot of negotiations going on. The atmosphere, I'm told, behind the scenes is a little bit positive, slightly positive, that they're in good spirits. Now, they would well be in good spirits because they have a bit more time, actually, to negotiate than they usually would have. You typically would have a situation where this is endless in terms of the amount of topics which they have to cover. But they usually spend the first 2 days, 2 to 3 days, with a leader summit. That was taken out of the COP negotiations, and that happened last week. So that freed up more time. They usually spend the rest of the first week arguing over what's on the official agenda. That really didn't happen this time because the Brazilian presidency took a lot of the controversial things out of the official agenda and will conduct dialogue on that. And it all goes down to one point. They really need this to seem as if it's smooth because of the absence of the United States. Obviously, President Trump's absence has been huge. It's the first time in 30 years there's not a single, not even one American delegate at this COP negotiation sent by government. And that was described by Gavin Newsom, the governor from California, has been an abomination and disgrace, the whole attitude that America has. And so they really want to be sure, and they've said this from the beginning, this has to be people standing together. They're not walking away from the climate negotiations and the climate challenge just because the United States president has a completely different point of view. And that has driven the whole issue about make this smooth. That has driven the whole issue about make sure that the atmosphere is going to be one which will get some agreements. But we have a long way to go, and there are plenty of controversial issues to be decided.
So looking then to the week ahead and what this gathering is seeking to achieve, what are the main sticking points?
Well, one of the big ones always is finance and where money would come from, particularly for the least developed countries to be able to deal with climate change and to deal with the disasters that they've had, to adapt their economies. And basically this notion that the historic obligation should be on the richer countries who have exploited oil for 150 years and are responsible for putting most of the emissions into the atmosphere, that is a huge issue. And then the question of, well, if you do put in place some climate finance mechanism, who gets it and who doesn't? And, you know, when we look back at who has benefited from the 300 million euro or the 100 million euro of climate finance provided most recently to developing countries, and it took about from 2009 to 2020 or thereabouts nearly to get it in place. And you find that China, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates have got some of that money because they're described as developing countries on a 30 or 40 year horizon going backwards. And so who gets the climate finance? Who should be producing it? Who, you know, kind of all of those rules about that, that is really controversial. There are issues in relation to, I suppose, trade. There are issues also in relation to getting countries to crank up their climate commitments and their targets. We know that the world, we heard obviously at home that yesterday we have missed our climate budgets for up to 2005 by 10 million tons. But the whole world is behind the curve in terms of trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and trying to bring down the rise in temperature. We had the analysis yesterday, which came from really, really reliable sources, showing that for 4 years now, the world is heading towards 2.6 degrees Celsius if everything is done that has been promised. And it hasn't changed. So although people have been coming up with new promises for climate action, at the same time, others have been increasing carbon emissions. Really, really controversial stuff because, you know, the way they put it is if we go to 2.6 degrees Celsius, the planet will cook. Basically, it is far too much. It isn't like a little bit of an increase in global temperatures. You get a linear kind of impact in terms of storms and damages. It goes up in a logarithmic fashion. It basically goes up like exponentially. So tiny little increases has a much bigger effect in terms of all of the bad weather that we're having and the storms and so on. So these are really controversial. Who is going to police how these things are going to be promised, and what's the transparency about all of that?
George, thanks indeed for joining us with that assessment of where things stand now. That was our environment correspondent, George Lee.